All right, we are here and welcome. Today we speak of the 12 chakras. Now most people, when they think of chakras, they think of 7. Now there are certain systems that see other secondary chakras in the body, and they see 12 or more chakras in the body. The 12 chakras we're going to talk about are the 7 in the body and the 5 beyond the body. After all, your body is, in a sense, limited, boundaried, within time and space in the first 3 dimensions. But there's so much, much more of you than what can be perceived through the senses of the physical body. The chakras are higher channels of perception. Since you are born and you're comfortable with and know about or don't know about it, but you experience your chakras doing their work from the time you have been even in utero, you don't tend to think too much about chakras. You don't tend to be able to distinguish what they're actually doing. It's just automatic. It's just part of you. Your chakras are part of the gift that enable vibrations from the higher dimensions, the higher planes, the greater expanded self of yours, the divine essence and energies that work with you, and all the perceptions that go with that. It channels them to you. Now, depending on how much awareness work you have done, you will be able to determine or to listen to those messages, be able to pick up those transmissions, be able to perceive those higher forces, higher energies, and higher levels of yourself. Now, when you're a child, you're much more connected to the higher levels of yourself, but more of your lower chakras, the ones that are more focused in the lower part of the body, are the ones that are working the most, that are most accessible. As you grow up and you mature in your thinking and your feeling and your expression and become an adult, you begin to use more of your upper chakras of your physical body. As you get on your spiritual path and seek to develop your awareness, your capacities of a spiritual nature, of a psychic nature, developing greater perception, greater understanding, greater wisdom, you begin to open up access to the higher chakras, the ones beyond your physical body. It is all part of nature's way. Of course, human beings have in their amazing creative ways, exploring every option possible, have discovered how to mess this whole process up. How to block and limit chakras. How to keep themselves from being able to even utilize one, shutting them down pretty much. Creating health problems, creating relationship problems, creating abundance issues by closing down chakras, closing down perceptions. Now, just to, as a very, very brief review, for those who are not familiar with chakras, the term chakra is taken from a Sanskrit word for wheel, because those who are psychically aware, who can see energy fields and can see the spiritual body, perceive chakras as spinning wheels, little discs. They're spinning, they're round, spinning. Now, there's different ideas about what colors these spinning vortices, which is what they are, are radiating. But essentially, they see the spinning. Now, those who go way more deeply into it, in the tradition, Asian tradition, in the Hindu tradition, for example, Buddhist tradition, they explore the chakras, their seven points in the body, and they are from a lesser complexity, starting at the bottom, to a greater complexity, starting at the top. This complexity being referred to as petals. And there are certain numbers of petals in the chakras, starting with the very lowest chakra. And the petals increase in number, amplify in number. The intensity of the chakra increases as you move upward. The first and the lowest chakra is the one at the root, at the coccyx, or coccygeal as it's called. This chakra is the place wherein your basic vital energy, life force, enters your physical body from the energetics. You see, you are more in the energetic realm than you are in the physical realm. You have chosen to narrow your focus into your physical life so that you can have a physical lifetime, so you can live within an illusion here and play with that, learning how to be the creator that you already really are. So in this focus, you don't see all the other dimensions and levels and layers of yourself. You have narrowed it down, narrowed your focus down. But that energy is required for you to function in the physical body. The physical body must be enlivened by something. And so the root chakra is that vortices, is that opening, is that spinning wheel that allows the energies from the other side to enter your physical body and enliven your physical body. If you did not have a root chakra, you would not be able to sustain life. It brings to you the force of Kundalini. We have described a Kundalini in another event entitled Kundalini, that if you want to know more about how the Kundalini functions in your body and how to work with it, we recommend you go and listen to that particular sound file. So the Kundalini enters through the root chakra. It is your grounding to physical plane reality, your grounding to the earth, your connection to here in the physical. And it's the first chakra that is developed. And as you are a very small child, you develop your second chakra. The Kundalini moves up through an energy channel, which is called the central energy channel. It moves up. The energy expands up into your second chakra, sacral chakra, or sexual chakra. It is found right behind your pubic bone. It has to do with your generative organs, your sexual energies, your hormones. And it activates your passion, your motivation. This Kundalini energy then enlivens your second chakra. Your Kundalini energy then continues its rise up, and as you get older, you begin to step into your power. As a child, you begin to understand you have a certain amount of power. Yes, compared to your parents, you feel relatively powerless, and unfortunately, many lifetime issues are wrapped around feeling powerless, but you begin to step into your power as part of your soul's journey. And this is rather early in your life, in the first 2, 3, 4 years. Who has not witnessed a 2-year-old being able to wrap his or her parent around the little finger? You know, it's like, I'll have a temper tantrum if you don't give me what I want. There's a certain learning about impact and power. third chakra is power. All right? That's generally found up just above, between the navel and the breastbone. It is felt in some people kind of right there in the middle. And for some people, it seems to rise and be a little bit higher. But that solar plexus chakra having to do with your power. Has to do with your communication and capacity to feel. If you've ever had a gut level knowing, that's third chakra. That's your power of knowing. The Kundalini expands and continues to rise, coming into your heart center, the heart chakra, which is not quite exactly on the physical heart, but it's more in the center and just under that kind of ridge that's right there in the center. It goes down into a slight depression. Everyone has this, and right under the ridge is the heart chakra. The Kundalini, of course, continuously coming in to your body through your root chakra 24/7 will expand and going up into your throat, into the notch at the base of your throat. That's your fifth chakra, or your throat chakra, having to do with issues of expression. The Kundalini continues to rise, moving into your head, into your brain. The next chakra is called the third eye chakra. It is between your two eyes and just above the top of your nose, where the nose meets the head, just above that and between the two eyes in the center. It's called the third eye. And that chakra right there has to do with seeing, perceiving images of the future, working with future and past, working with imagination. Now we're going over this very, very lightly because we've discussed this in more depth elsewhere. The Kundalini, though, continues to rise, this livening force. And as you mature and become more open to spiritual connection, to higher consciousness, opening to the divine within you, you're able to allow more and more of these higher chakras. The throat chakra becomes more of a higher will. The divine will expressed through you. The eyebrow chakra becomes more of the seeing, the clairvoyance, the seeing beyond the physical. And that Kundalini moves up to the crown of the head, the very top of the head. This chakra, this spinning vortex, is half inside the body and half outside the body. It is the channel through which you receive divine grace, through which you communicate directly with your higher self, with the divine, with your greater self. And for most people who are trying to focus on their mundane lives, most of them keep this mostly closed. But you know, dear ones, when you're on a spiritual quest, you're going to keep it as open as you can, because it is a key for you receiving the divine grace, the bounty, the love, the joy, all that which is part of your birthright as a spiritual being. It is your connection to the greatness. And it is also part of enlivening your brain so that your mind can align to higher truths and understandings. Those are the seven chakras. Those are traditional. Now, there are some people who look at other chakras within the body, like the splenic chakra, which is over in the left side, kind of over in front of the spleen, pancreas area. There's some that work with chakras that they see at the wrists and the ankles. Another chakra that is being seen more and more and people are working with is one in between the heart chakra and the throat chakra, kind of above that ridge, which has to do with a spiritual identity. There are other chakras here and there having to do with various organs, various kinds of enlivening of aspects of you in the physical body. But overall, the seven chakras, the ones who are lined up along the central energy channel, are the ones that do probably the most, absolutely, almost, all the most of the perceiving and the exchange of information from the other dimensions and realms, of which most of which, virtually all of which, you are unaware. You rely upon these chakras to function, to survive, to live in physical plane. At the time of your death, these chakras shut down, starting with the root chakra and moving all the way up, until you exate the crown chakra. Your soul, the soul enlivenment of the body, the soul energies that are resonant within your physical form and holding it indeed in integrousness, does leave at the time of your end of your physical existence. When that existence is served and the soul exits at the crown, there are no chakras still spinning. However, the chakras above and beyond the physical body are still spinning. They are more, in a sense, than vortices. They are conscious. They have powers of consciousness. Now, the one with which you're most familiar, which is the eighth chakra. Some people see it above the seventh chakra, and some people actually see it down beneath your feet. The eighth chakra is your whole energy field. It's your aura. It's, if you look at your aura from a psychic's point of view, you very often see seven layers of aura. This whole theme of seven is repeated in various dimensions and levels. But your whole energy field has seven layers as well. If you were to see them, it looks like almost concentric ovals moving out from your body. Now, this particular chakra includes all seven layers. These seven layers correspond to the etheric, which is that which holds your physical body in place. It corresponds to the emotional, the mental, the psychic, the transcendent, or the collective, the transcendent of the collective into the greater consciousness, and into higher consciousness, into the connection with the divine. It is a reflection of that. You do not have all of that working in your physical body. You could not tolerate all this amount of energy working in your physical body. So there is a certain piece of the wholeness that is you, that serves to function enough to enliven you in the physical plane and enable you to have access to all your resources of learning, of expression, of creating, of discovering, of moving energy with intention, of loving and receiving, giving and receiving. It enables you to do that. At the boundary, you might say, of your energy field, there is something that distinguishes you from other. There is a boundary to this eighth chakra, and that we call ego. You need it in order to function in the physical plane. It is the distinction between self and other. Depending on your level of perception and evolution, your ego boundary may be actually inside those seven layers and keeping you from seeing the greater you and tapping into the greater consciousness. Your ego boundary may come as close as your emotional body. It is a perceptive boundary, and you don't know that there is any more of you beyond your ego. You don't see the rest of you. You don't see the magnificence of the divine essence that you are. Because the ego is really there to bring to you what you need physically to survive, enabling you to translate what you experience into physical resource. If your ego could stay out beyond the seventh level of your aura, you would have an extraordinarily healthy ego because you would be able to function as a fully realized person in your physical body, which is what many of you are moving towards. And for the first time on the planet, this capacity has become available to you. And it's because time and space are revealing their secrets, they're opening up and allowing spiritual growth and evolution to happen exponentially now. In the past, people would spend lifetimes opening up one chakra and really discovering what's in there and being able to be empowered and be able to be realized through that chakra. And then they'd have to come back to another lifetime and continue to the next one and the next one and the next one and work their way up. As they were doing that, they're also working in accessing more and more of their aura, of their energy field, of the greater energy field that they were or are. However, human beings have allowed themselves to be totally at the mercy, you might say, of their egos. So most people, when you're born, when you're very, very young, your ego very, very simple, very much like the child. Your ego is somewhere around in your mental body, between your mental and psychic body, somewhere in there, or perhaps outside your psychic body. And as you grow, and as you learn from your parents and your culture what to think, what to feel, what to believe, if you're in a limited place, your culture is extremely limited, has tremendous amounts of judgments, has tremendous amounts of limitation, this ego boundary can move rather close to you. People who are highly defensive, people who are narcissistic, who are totally self-absorbed, everything is about them. You've met people like that. All they can think about is themselves. They don't know how to think about others. They don't know how to get in touch with other people. Their lives are only focused on themselves. That's an ego that's in the emotional body. It's come in and closed in really, really close. So a person's boundary, a person's personal space, is easily thwarted by some other person's presence. It becomes an emotional stress, a challenge, even perceived as an attack. The person is very defensive, reactive, takes everything personally. As if they can mature, if they can perceive this and recognize that it's a limitation and stop taking things so personally and stop judging other people so extremely or making or staying so extremely focused on themselves that they see only other people as a way for them to be happier, whatever the other person's resources are or are benefit to them, the only reason to interact with other people is so they can get stuff. If they could let that go, the ego boundary could move out from the emotional body into the mental body and back out into the psychic body. The perceptions could be much broader. The wisdom can be much more. There can be a lot more peace. In the spiritual journey, if a person continues to mature, regardless of what culture they got stuck in or what negative beliefs they've limited themselves with, if they can heal that, if they can release that, they can expand that ego boundary out into past the psychic, into the collective, into the transcendent, into the spiritual, into the divine. And then anything that they want, they desire, they can draw to themselves. This eighth chakra is the vibrational level, the brightness of it, the usefulness of it, the joy and thrill of life, and the health and the vitality that can come with it is dependent on moving the ego boundary out and not holding so many limiting judgments and ideas or judging others. As we say it, I've always said, judgment sticks you more than it sticks anybody else you're judging. And if you're judging yourself, you're double sticking yourself. It's really pretty intense. So the way to work with eighth chakra is to release judgment or limiting beliefs, which are essentially the same thing, just anchored in and appearing to be true. When you get that flexibility, you can transcend and you can open up your auric field, your energy field, to shine more brightly, to radiate your light, to radiate your beauty, to radiate your truth and consciousness. And then the truth, your personal truth that you speak, will be global in character. There's a lot of people say, I speak my truth. And when they speak their truth, basically, if their ego's down there in the emotional body or the mental body, it's their little twisted, distorted personal philosophy that excludes others, that puts them as the highest ranking member of some imaginary hierarchy. And you find people who just know it all. They have to tell everybody what's what? What life is about? This is the way it is. The incredible wisdom that could be available if a person could let that ego expand out and become healthy, not twisted and distorted. The closer the ego gets to you, the darker it is, the more limiting it becomes. And the further out you let that ego boundary go, to the more you can receive, the more bounty, more joy, more love, and the more love and more beauty and the more message you can give, the more hearts you can touch, and more freedom you experience. So the eighth chakra, or your aura, or your energy field, or the biofield, whatever you like to call that, has access to everything, but is limited by ego. And whether you see the eighth chakra as being beneath your feet, as if it were flames enlivening this energy body around you, or if you see it above, energizing downward and around you, it doesn't matter where you see the source of the eighth chakra. It defines your boundary between you, the physical intelligence, the lifetime identity that is you, and the greater identity of yourself. The ninth chakra, which can be perceived above the seventh chakra, or the eighth chakra if you have the eighth chakra on top, the ninth chakra is what we would call the greater self. It is the self that can function in the identity of your physical lifetime, but from a transcendent point of view. In other words, you know pretty much who you are. It's kind of like you being the self-realized person in the physical body. It's as if you are a master, a Christos. There are always masters of this level in the world today. These are individuals who can bring the greater divine through more of themselves because they have been able to expand that ego boundary all the way out and function as the greater whole, seeing a greater perspective, a greater knowing of who they are and why they're here in physical form, what their missions are, and the connection to the divine within them. We would have to call this perhaps the greater self or the truer self, because you much more know who you are, so you know your truth. You know your uniqueness as that spark of consciousness that you are. But you operate from a globally loving, compassionate place. You have nothing to defend against. There is no danger. In a sense, you're beyond attachment to your physical body, to your physical form. This is the level at which a fully conscious and realized divine being can manifest. It is still limiting, because you're not able to be the divine itself. You cannot contain that in lower consciousness, in the lower worlds, in the manifested worlds. So the ninth chakra, beyond the eighth chakra, is the greater self, the truer self, the essence of your uniqueness as this identity, as this physical lifetime self. This is as far as you can go. Jesus and Buddha and other great gurus, teachers, upon whom subsequently religions were founded, because they were so exceptional, because they could speak the truth. And when you're in that level, you know who everyone is, because when you understand your uniqueness and you can see it and know it, you can see everyone else's. Jesus was able to go around and touch people or look at people, and they could heal. They could look at an animal and know exactly everything about that animal's path, that animal's evolution, the human's evolution, the plants, they could see the spiritual essence of everything. They live in the oneness, and they function through love. They gift love wherever they go. Now, there are certain great healers on the planet. They have the healing gift that can come almost with that level. But they are not complete. They only have part of it. When you have the ninth chakra realized, you have all the gifts. You can heal. You can know everything. You can have all the answers. You can know everything. You can know everyone, while still being able to function physically. And that's the place most people are trying to get to. But very few people actually spend a lifetime in their ninth chakra in the body. And the reason for that is that by the time you're capable of doing that, most people don't have a call, you might say, to be a great spiritual teacher on the planet. They don't have a call to be here. They're heading home. Home, 12th chakra, home. But we'll get there. 10th chakra, which you may visualize as above the 9th chakra, is your higher self. This higher self is the part of you who knows who you are, who knows your divine nature, and who knows all your lifetimes. They see all your lifetimes. They're not focusing energy through a single lifetime, as you would find with the 8th and 9th chakra, or single mission. The higher self is able to love unconditionally, does not have a body, is beyond body. If you perceive it in form, it's because it's a gift to your visual imagination. Your higher self will gift you an image of them that is congruent vibrationally to what they're doing with you and how they're working with you. Your higher self is looking out after you. If you call, if you ask, the higher self is the one who said, I want to experience physical form, and I want lots and lots of different experiences. And so they're the one that split off a whole bunch of pieces to go out into physical bodies and to experience stuff. The higher self is the one who's aware of this whole process, who put it into motion, and who supervises it. And what was the purpose of going into physical incarnation? Well, first of all, it was seen to be quite an adventure. It was an exploration. It was a learning program, in a sense, of learning how to be a reality creator by working first with illusion, by creating an illusion, by creating this holographic, imaginary universe that is the physical plane and everything around it. And from there, to play around with rediscovering the self. In a sense, you hid the truth from yourself, and then you decided to have an interesting lifetime to where from scratch, from not knowing who you are, you learn to create, you learn to learn, you learn to grow, you learn to change. You got to do all sorts of things from a very unique angle, that of not knowing yourself. But at some point, in some lifetimes, you will learn who you are. You will awaken. you'll become enlightened. You'll become on your spiritual path. You will set your feet on your spiritual journey home. And out of maybe hundreds and thousands of lifetimes that your higher self has thrown out there to explore with, 2, 3, or 4 lifetimes are your spiritual homegoing lifetimes, the ones where you're setting your sights on beyond, where you're letting go of your judgments, letting go of your limitations, becoming self-realized, discovering your truth, discovering wisdom, creating and manifesting, having joy and fun and freedom and love and power and trusting the divine plan, awakening to the divine plan, allowing yourself to give and receive. Being that you are personally involved in a spiritual evolutionary journey, that you are spending a good chunk of this particular lifetime you're in right now looking at where you're going, who you are, spiritually what you're up to, you most likely are in a homegoing lifetime. Those are the quote-unquote wrapping up lifetimes. If you don't have much interest in the spiritual, and it's just, oh, that's kind of fun and fascinating, I'd really like to have psychic powers, but beyond that, I'm not particularly interested in who I am. I just, you know, just want to be happy, just want to have interesting time. And you may not be on a homegoing lifetime. When you come to the end of your life as the home goer, one of these lifetimes is the ultimate lifetime. Could be this one. You don't have to be fully realized. You don't have to have your ego expanded out and freed and cleared and healthy out to the 7th level of your aura. You don't have to be fully perfect to go home. You just have to be ready. You have to be willing. You do have to learn about love. You do have to learn about the power of your thinking and your beliefs and work with that. And you do have to receive the grace of the divine. If your intention is to leave physical reality forever and ascend into higher planes, to return home, to become one with God, Goddess, all that is, your heartfelt intentions may leap you at the time of your death to a place where you don't have to come back. You don't, there's nothing really more for you to learn. Unless you want to come back as a master teacher. At the end of that particular life, the homegoing life, a matter of your choice, if you will, all your lifetimes, all of them, because they're all being lived now. There's only one time, it's now. There's no past, present, and future. In a linear context, is only the now. There's only the eternal present. All those lifetimes and you, as you ascend, will come together as one. And you will merge back into your higher self. You will essentially become your higher self. You will take the seat of power that is your higher self, with that level of awareness, that well level of unconditional love and knowing and compassion, you will take that seat. You will sit in the seat of the higher self and look through the higher self's eyes and be one. And you're done. You're done with birth and death. Now, there's still more to go on the higher realms. Realms with names such as the unknowable, names such as the indescribable, realms of great beauty and love beyond what you can possibly imagine while still in physical form. You will go on into those realms. You will work your way, so to speak, through meditation, through conscious evolution, as your higher self, to move then to the next chakra. Eighth chakra, your aura. Ninth chakra, your greater realized uniqueness, individual self. Tenth chakra, your higher self. Once you merge into your higher self, you don't have to be perfect either. It is all part of choice and intention and your way. Then your higher self seeks the 11th chakra. The 11th chakra is soul. Soul, there is substance to soul, but soul is also a window, a portal. You see the reflections of soul in your life, in your emotional body, when you're moved by something important, significant, when you're impacted in a very profound way. If you experience transcendent spiritual ecstasy, you will have experienced a phenomenal opening and freeing of soul. If you've experienced, and all of you have, a deep wounding, a wounding of shame or pain, you've felt something happened deep down inside you. You felt a deep movement underneath you in your unconsciousness. But you would feel something deep and profound. You've been touched by soul. Most people's experience of a touch of soul has been through depth, and most people experience depth through suffering. So it is hard to imagine the exquisite lightness, joy, and absolute openness and freedom of soul. You have no concept of soul. You can't see beyond your higher self. But soul holds the essence of the divine for you. Soul is almost, in a sense, like an oversoul, as they call it, for your higher self. There are many, many, many higher selves. Just as there are many lifetimes within one higher self, there are many higher selves within one soul. There's not a lifetime as a demarcation. But when you learn about your divine nature, you know your divine nature, you just expand on that knowing and expand on that experience, immerse yourself, become more and more into the oneness. At some point, you connect, you become, return to soul. And when you return to soul, you can start to see God, Goddess, all that is. You can really see the greatness of God, Goddess, all that is. as soul, as higher self, as greater true self, you're always learning, growing, and becoming more. It's natural to you here in the physical form as well. So perhaps it doesn't come as a surprise to you that the 12th chakra is God, Goddess, all that is. That's who you really are, ultimately. And God, Goddess, all that is continuously growing and expanding, continuously creating more, becoming more, knowing more, as if that's possible. It's hard to comprehend. It's part of those incomprehensible dimensions and levels. You just have no idea. The essence of the divine does not have any limit. It is infinite. It includes all that is, and it also includes all that is not, which God and Goddess, the masculine and feminine aspects of the divine, though certainly there is no gender limitations there, are seeking to discover. They're going to create out of the unknown something. And there's still plenty that is not, from which can be things that are. God, Goddess, all that is what you might say the ultimate love. Love is actually the energy that has created everything. Everything you experience in your life is some dilution or reflection of love. Even painful stuff, even dark, dreary, negative, violent, horrendous, traumatic stuff is all in the broad spectrum of love. That's why when we put together our vortex and we say, get rid of something you don't want, and you let it go, it will return to love. It will turn back into the light. Doesn't matter how dark it is. There's nothing that you have which cannot be forgiven, which cannot be cleared or healed or lifted into the light. Because ultimately you are God, Goddess, all that is. And your journey home is to know that. Your journey here in physical plane is to free yourself, to love and take care of yourself, to value yourself and thereby love others. Eighth chakra, to expand that ego out into healthy boundaries, away from the close, toxic level. It was something you wanted to experience. You chose it. As God, yourself, you chose this. To experience all sorts of stuff. As your higher self, you put out all these lifetimes to experience. And you did it through incredible amounts of love for yourself. To give yourself this wide range of possibility. It is a free will universe, and that's why nobody comes and intervenes when you suffer. You have to accept your healing. You have to open to receive from the greater part of you. You have to let go of your judgments, which may have even to do with your limitations as you perceive them. Your sufferings are made out of judgments on yourself or on others. And as you free yourself from that, you go into a self-realized place. You step into the greater perspective. You go beyond your life, all your lifetimes, or beyond birth and death. You experience the incredible lightness. The incredible lightness of soul, which down here in physical plane can feel pretty heavy. The incredible depth and lightness. There's nothing shallow about soul. It's completely deep. It's completely rich, very complex, but oh, so ecstatic. To ultimately step into God, Goddess, all that is. Your ownership, your aspect, your divine God, Goddess, all that is. Step into the oneness, to merge into the great divine. The whole object here, though, is that you don't really lose your identity. Perhaps once you become God, Goddess, all that is yourself, by the time you get there, God, Goddess, all that is, has gone quite a bit further, but nevertheless, you can hold on to individual distinction if you want, but it's absolutely useless because you know you're everything. To the extent that you can function with that orientation now, is the extent of acceleration of your spiritual passage, of your spiritual healing, lifting. You can access the 12 chakras in meditation by imagining them and letting yourself, in your imagination, lift into whatever frequency you think is higher. We're going to do a meditation in a short while in which we'll lift you to where you can imagine and perhaps touch into a little bit of your 12 chakras to link you with home, your home, where you began, where you are, where you were, where you will be, where you are one. It's a beautiful journey, and we are very thrilled to have the opportunity to share this with you. And so now we'd like to open it up to questions. If any of you have any questions you'd like to ask, Daniel will give you the mic.
Hi. Is this working?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I have a question. I had a dream. This was a little over a week ago, not even 2 weeks. And this dream was very strange. I usually don't remember dreams, but in this particular circumstance, I woke up and remembered. It was very vivid. This is just making me shake even saying what it was. And it was, I want to go home. It was extremely emotional.
Yes.
I was looking up. I was just laying flat. And there was like gold mesh on top of me. And I was looking out through this gold mesh, and I could only really see my eyes. And I just was saying, it was like Dorothy, you know, in The Wizard of Oz, I want to go home, I want to go home, I want to go home. And I jumped out of bed. I seriously just jumped out of bed. And because what was happening was I started saying it with the dream. I started speaking those same words, and I seriously freaked out. I thought I was going to die. I mean, I thought I was going to go home. I mean, I thought it was like, am I being given an opportunity to leave my physical form? I just was really freaked out.
Oh, all right. No, actually, that doesn't have to do with death of the physical body. It does have to do, however, with letting go of the smaller you and embracing the greater you. And that was a gift. That dream was you know, power dream, spiritual dream. It was a touch of the divine, of yourself, linking you, offering you a way to home. Don't worry, it's not an indication that you're going to, you know, drive down the freeway and get hit by a truck and die and whatever. That's not the way you have to go home.
Okay.
All right. But you do want to look at your perspective on physical life. Because many times when you have this yearning, and it started before this dream, you've wanted to go home for a long time. You felt a yearning. If somebody say home, what does home really mean to you? There's something, your heart chakra, just, oh, home. There's a sense of greatness, a sense of peace, a sense of unconditional acceptance and love. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
There's something just so beautiful with home. Right? And you've wanted to go home a lot of your life already. But you may not have, you know, volunteered to actually look at that, because nobody likes to be homesick, right? That's no fun. To feel that you're yearning for something you can't ever seem to have. So what you want to look at is what your perspective is on living in the physical body. If there have been times in your life that you have not wanted to live, or that you were completely ambivalent about being here in the physical form, what you want to do is to go back in your imagination, in your mind, to those times, to that self that you were then, and to love her, to heal her, to lift a burden of pain and sorrow and longing from her, and to reassure her, that you are taking her home and you home, ultimately, that you're on that journey, and that the physical lifetime is a wonderful adventure, and you're not going to go home until you actually expand your joy here and be okay with being physical here. Do you understand what we're saying?
Yes, I
all
do.
Right.
Well,
so,
that makes me feel better.
Well, yes, it's not a death knell. It's what it is saying, okay, get into peace with being in the physical body and know that you have been touched by soul. That golden mesh, that was, you were given a kind of a healing there. Are you aware of that? Kind of a sense that your vibration was adjusted?
Yes.
All right?
Uh-huh.
You were aligned differently when you came out of that dream than you were when you went to bed that evening before. That alignment is lining you up with your higher self, with your soul, with God, God is all that is. It was a lineup. It was a connection in your eighth chakra to one of the outer levels of your aura.
Mm-hmm.